answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Not have voter ID, who would not have proof of citizenship, and the only people who would want not to have that are people that want to cheat. It's very, very simple. We can't let that happen.
Now, here's the thing, though. Even if you take the Democrats at their word, even if illegal aliens voting is very rare, then why don't we ban it anyway? It's not that complicated.
You have to have a photo ID to do everything in American society. Why not to vote? It's ridiculous for them to oppose it. Common sense versus crazy. It's crazy to say that you should not be a citizen or not have ID to vote.
It is crazy. I fully agree with Mike Johnson. And I agree, obviously, with the president and Vice President Vance. We need voter ID to protect our elections. And you know what? There was a time that even the left, the Democrats, believe that you should be able to prove who you are if you're going to vote. Well, again, that sounds like common sense. What's changed? Trump. Trump has been a force that they cannot handle one way or the other. We talk about Trump derangement syndrome. It's a real thing. It really is. Some folks are absolutely incensed and pushing every button they can if he even appears on TV. And behind that is a lot of hate and efforts to scare other people. I know I'm talking to the choir in this case, but I want to remind you, these programs go up later as a podcast. At News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or anywhere you get your podcast. So for some of your friends, even relatives, who cannot even stand the word Trump, send them a copy of this. Pull it up and push share. Send it to them. And say that Larry Connors suggested I send this to you. And you could say that I ordered you to. I'm not. But if that will help you with your relatives, you do it whatever works for you. We have in this country right now just too many people that want to make everything that is bad about the country is Trump. And there's nothing good in the country because of Trump. This We'll see how it plays out when we get into the midterm elections. And, of course, the Iran situation is still in play. Trump announced the other day, going into the weekend, Iran, you got 48 hours to step up and say that you're no longer going to continue to wage and fire missiles. And then, late yesterday, he says, we're talking to them. We're going to hold off on that a bit. Now, is the delay tactic legitimate? Are we having talks with them? Iran says we're not. Well, now who are you going to trust? And here is a question that should absolutely split down America. Would you trust Iran versus Trump? Really? Really? Even if you hate Trump? Do you know that Iran wants to kill you? Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL, Facebook or Twitter. You go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Rumble, News Talk STL Rumble. And we show up at a lot of other places too. Glad to have you watch, listen, and then if you're pulling it up as a podcast later, video or audio, push the button to share. Send it on to others. Get them involved. We need all hands on deck going into this primary. I should say midterm. And with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You will leave each hour with more information than you have right now. And of course, we still have a battle underway on simply getting voter ID. You heard Trump, Vance, and Mike Johnson say, why wouldn't we not want to have voter ID? Well, the Michigan, which is a blue state, in case I had to remind you, Secretary of State, who is also in the running to be the next governor in Michigan, says that SAVE is simply a Republican plan to steal votes.
Democratic governors, particularly in battleground states like Michigan, can use every tool in our disposal, in particular to fight these demands in our state courts, in our federal courts, and also enact policies to protect against a lot of the overreach and abuse of power that we're seeing at the federal level. We're already seeing that play out with Democratic governors across the country standing up to the president, and he tends to cower when you do that. And so this really also underscores the importance of having secretaries of state, attorneys general, governors in states throughout the country, and particular in battleground states like Michigan, that will stand up to these lies, to this insincere attempt to essentially rig our elections, because as the president said, he's afraid of the voters. And governors in this moment can use our tools, seek recusal in the courts and a number of other things that can actually protect our voters and citizens. And in many ways, these state officials are all we have left to do that.
They're the ones who are going to protect your vote when they don't want to even demand that you prove who you are before you vote. Even in third world countries, even if they don't have an ID, they want to document who voted and who didn't. Even if it means dipping their finger in paint, it will be with them for several days. So they can't vote twice. Unless we want to cut off that finger. Protecting the integrity of the vote is what we have to do. There's no doubt that we've had votes stolen. And I'm not going to say it's only been on the Democrat side. But we have seen more evidence of that being carried out by Democrats and their colleagues. Certainly in reference to Donald Trump, but other elections as well. And they are the ones who want to see open borders brought back. They'll say that. I don't think they really do, but anything to be against Trump, that's what they're willing to do. By the way, before I get away from this, a lot of folks might think that Democrats are a solid unit. They're really not. They're fractured as well. And you want to know how deep the fracture has gotten? Go to Chicago, Obama's hometown. They're trying to build an Obama presidential center to display everything he's done great. Every president gets one. I have no complaint about that. But a lot of Chicago residents do. They fear they're going to be chased out of their homes as this development goes underway. Many of them have already. And they're looking at rent hikes because that will then in turn chase them out. One investor from California reportedly offering $2,000 in cash to each family that decides to move elsewhere. But many have been living in the building where they are for decades, and they pay $700 to $800 per month in rent. Now, what is $2,000 in cash going to get you anywhere else? You know what that suggests? What they have always known, and it works in some cases, they can buy you. They can buy votes. They can buy folks to leave where they are only paying $700, maybe $800 a month for $2,000 cash. And where are you going to go? And how much are you going to pay there? Well, there might be some that would take advantage of it and go to Texas or Florida. Get the hell out of Illinois. They have numerous citizens who have organized protest over the Obama Center. It's supposed to be open to the public June 19. And it's reportedly been costing taxpayers more and more money. So they put out a call for unpaid volunteers. The CEO of the Obama Foundation, Valerie Jarrett, would be paid $740,000. Yeah, they know where to spend their money. And we're talking earlier from listening from the Michigan Secretary of State that voter ID is just an effort to keep folks from voting. Riddle me this. Do you need an ID to get on a plane? Yes, you do. Of course, with the situation now, as Democrats continue to hold up funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which is not giving paychecks now to TSA agents, 400 or more have quit. Others are thinking about it. President Trump has asked ICE to move in to some of the airports to help move the lines a little faster. And immediately the Democrats are crying they don't want ICE agents in there. But when you listen to some of the delays that are underway, I think for the most part, passengers will be glad to actually make their flight. This NBC report.
Hours-long wait times at airports across the country tonight.
It was 4 hours to get to the plane.
You cannot be serious.
Line stretching all the way to the parking garage in New Orleans. A similar scene in New York City and Philadelphia. It's why President Trump says that on Monday, ICE agents will be going to airports to help TSA workers who've gone without full paychecks since February. White House border czar Tom Homan today admitting they don't have a plan yet.
I'm currently working on the plan now of execution. We'll execute it tomorrow.
NBC News has learned more than 400 TSA officers have quit since the shutdown began. Thousands more are calling out, many falling behind on their bills. For 37 days, Democrats have blocked funding to the Department of Homeland Security because of the administration's immigration crackdown. It isn't yet clear what travelers will see tomorrow. According to Homan, who is deploying ICE to the busiest airports, agents would take on TSA responsibilities that don't require specialized training. So you may not see them in the screening lines.
I think it's going to make it even more nerve-wracking for people.
You think they'll be afraid to fly?
I will be.
For what reason? Why would you be afraid to fly? If you're afraid to fly, don't go on the plane to begin with. And now because ICE agents might be there helping just pre-check folks' ID before they get into the line, maybe speeding it up? It's all the Trump derangement syndrome. Well, over the weekend, Iran proved it does have missiles that can reach targets which previously considered they were safe.
Moments ago, President Trump confirming progress in talks with Iran, adding, quote, "I've instructed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a five-day period." Meanwhile, growing concerns over Iran's missiles over the weekend, how far they can actually go after Iran launched ballistic missiles towards Diego Garcia, a U.S.-UK base in the Indian Ocean, 2,500 miles away. So now we know that we've been accusing them of this. They've denied it, and now we know their space program has produced a missile that can go 2,500 miles. So what does that mean? The capitals of Rome, Munich, Paris, of Italy, Germany, and France, suddenly they are paying attention, I imagine. Maybe it is their fight, And of course, in London, where they've decided to just let their military wither. And then we have Oslo and Berlin. Besides that, I think every NATO capital is now under watch.
They should be. And keep in mind, we were told by the Iranians, well, we want to have a space station. We want to go into space. No, they want these missiles to reach farther than even 2,500 miles so they can get to our shores from Iran. There is no sense in believing anything Iran says when they're mainly in the streets chanting and in their assemblies, death to America. Now, the Iranian people want to get out from under that regime as well. Unfortunately, there were going to be more casualties in and outside of Iran before there's some resolution. With Trump saying that we are now talking to them again, we're going to give them a little bit more time, and Iran says, no, there are no talks. You're just making that up. You're working to get more things ready to hit us, as if Iran's not. But again, what Brian Kilmeade was pointing out, listen again to the capitals in Europe that are under direct range of these new missiles. Oslo, Berlin, London, Paris, Munich, Rome. Anyone out there planning a trip and a summer vacation to any of those areas? I know some who were. I say were. They'd already decided before this missile got fired over the weekend, they were going to cancel their trip to Rome. I know others are still going to go to Italy on a trip. They're not going to be actually in Rome, except briefly. I don't know how you're going to time what happens when you're in Rome. And again, this is not to frighten you or to panic you, but make you aware of the true threat from Iran. Because the Democrats will have you believe, and some Republicans, we don't really need to continue pounding Iran. If you missed the interview I had with the John Birch Society member earlier, pull that up as a podcast and listen to the first hour today. Coming up, the latest on the disaster that, thank goodness, didn't kill as many as it could have at LaGuardia Airport last night. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Pretty woman walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So right before the crash, as we were descending, the flight attendant said something very eerie that I normally have never heard before landing. She said, in case of an emergency landing, do not grab your luggage. And everybody was like, okay. And then as we were descending, we hit a lot of turbulence. So she said, please, everyone, the pilot is saying for everyone to keep your seatbelts on. We're hitting a lot of turbulence. And then we landed very roughly. It was a rough landing. Like when we landed, everyone felt it. It just like the plane like jolted. And you heard the pilot try to brake, like he was trying to prevent the collision that occurred. And as you heard the brake, you just, a couple seconds later, it was just a very loud boom. And everybody just jolted out of their seats. People hit their heads. People were bleeding.
That is a passenger who was on the Air Canada flight that crashed at LaGuardia Airport into a Port Authority fire truck. How the hell did that happen? Well, of course, the investigation is just beginning. But the original indication was that the flight arriving from Montreal Trudeau International Airport had been cleared to land. But at the same time, a Port Authority truck, a fire truck or whatever, was given authority to cross a runway moments before. And when they realized that, they were trying to get the truck to stop. You can't get the jet to stop that fast. It's coming in at 185 to maybe 110 knots. Not going to stop immediately. The air brakes are out. They're doing everything they can, but they couldn't stop it. The pilot and the co-pilot were killed. Those on board the truck escaped with injuries, but they're apparently going to be okay. The plane had 72 passengers, 4 crew members. Jazz Aviation was overseeing the flight. The Bombardier CRJ-900, as we said, flying from Canada into New York. It's only about an hour flight. Audio recordings from the incident do feature air traffic control granting permission to the Port Authority truck to cross the runway just moments before urging the truck to stop. Then the air traffic control says, JAS 646, talking about the air flight, I see you collided with a vehicle. Just hold position. I know you can't move. Vehicles are responding. That was the word as dictated by an air traffic controller. Photos and videos showing severe damage to the front of the plane. Cables and debris hanging from the mangled cockpit. Emergency vehicle on its side. The FAA issued a ground stop for all planes at the airport and closed the airport until late Monday afternoon. Numerous stories still coming out about those passengers on board. One flight attendant who was strapped into her seat apparently was ejected. No, she was strapped in, as she should have been. Her exact condition still being determined. The Port Authority officers on the fire truck suffered broken bones, but they are expected to survive. But as I said, both pilots were killed, dozens of other passengers injured. One of the guys on the plane said, "I remember looking behind me after we got off, and there was one guy with just blood coming off his face. A lot of people got hurt, and indeed they did." Now, how did the clearance go down from the tower to allow a truck to begin to cross the runway and not be aware that a jet was coming in on that very runway? It's going to come down to a human mistake. There's no word that any equipment failed to let them know where the plane was, nor that they could not see the truck. But after giving permission for it to cross the runway, immediately wanting it to stop. By then it was on the runway, and by then the Air Canada flight was right on top of it. The young woman you were listening to earlier who was on board continues her story.
Everybody just jolted out of their seats. People hit their heads. People were bleeding. I was sitting in the emergency row, and I was right next to the emergency exit. But I was waiting for guidance from, like, flight crew. But that didn't happen because they were in the front of the plane. And as you know, the front of the plane was extremely damaged. I didn't realize that. So I'm asking everyone around me if they're okay. And then one of the passengers screamed to me, like, "Please open the exit door." And I was like, "Of course." So we opened the exit door, and there was no slide for us. We just, a lot of people slid off of the wing of the plane getting out. And then by the time I got out, there was emergency personnel, and someone was able to assist me sliding off of the wing. And once we got off of the wing, they had us standing next to an emergency vehicle, and that's when we were able to see the extensive damage of the plane, on top of people just, like, bleeding and bumps and bruises. It was a very harrowing scene. We were all emotional, and it was just very scary. It happened so quickly.
One thing she did point out, though, no one was panicking. No one was pushing people out of the way so they could get out. They were fairly orderly, considering what they'd gone through. Maybe still in a daze, but either way, there was no panic. They got out and then went down the wing to get out of the plane. The emergency chutes through the exit doors were not deployed. This could have been so much worse. Still had the pilot and co-pilot killed because they were, as we often say, as pilots, or as a pilot, you might be the first to the scene of the accident. But the fact that the jet did not catch fire and did not turn in any way where more passengers were directly exposed to the collision with the truck. In the meantime, flights in and out of Newark Liberty International Airport, New Jersey, were halted earlier today. Air traffic controllers evacuated because there was smoke coming from an elevator. The FAA admits that the tower and the flights were shut down for a period of time, but gave no details on the fumes, what caused them. The FAA staff relocated to a backup tower so then they could begin to continue operating the tower. And when the smoke was cleared, they returned to the primary tower. But let me point this out to you. As the Associated Press reports, earlier this month, four airports serving Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Richmond, Virginia, had to halt flights for more than an hour because of a strong chemical smell that was bothering the air traffic controllers. Four airports. Transportation Secretary Duffy said, "We believe the strong odor was, in each case, traced to a circuit board that overheated." Four different cases. Now, again, that event at Newark Liberty International in New Jersey had nothing to do with what happened at LaGuardia. I don't like to start putting fear into anyone, but if we're having terrorists in our nation, we know we have here, under Joe Biden's open border policy, thank you, Joe Biden, are some of them in positions at airports now where they can cause havoc? The crash at LaGuardia, I will say, is probably going to come down to a controller who made a big mistake. But four different fires in airports serving the areas that I gave you a moment ago. I, at that point, began to question, how do you have that much of a coincidence? We talk about trying to get the SAVE Act through and passed to make sure the integrity of our elections is protected. In California, a sheriff who is also a Republican candidate for governor seized more than 650,000 ballots. What did he find? That story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers and then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you. Susie Q. Like the way you walk.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, if you are planning a trip this spring or this summer, you like to think you're going to be able to make the trip without any hindrance, like maybe getting through your security checkout line without any trouble. We now have ICE agents at numerous airports to assist TSA, and exactly what they're doing is not clear in many ways, but they're not doing actual check of baggage. They're apparently just checking ID of folks before you get into the line, so it will be expedited. Once you've been cleared at a certain point, you can put your ID away and just move forward. We're getting reports now that ICE has deployed agents to 14 different airports. And a lot of this is because DHS funding shut down last month. The Democrats decided they were going to hold the American traveling public hostage. The TSA agents would get their full pay when all of this was over. But if I told you that you're going to get your check, but it might be 6-8 weeks from now, can you go that long? Do you have enough savings to do that? Take care of the mortgage, the bills, everything else? Maybe you go pick up a second job so you're not even bothering to report to TSA. That's what a lot of them have done. And some about not quit. And yet we've got some who want to complain because ICE agents are on the ground at airports. One of them being, no surprise here, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. He said, with ICE agents at several of the nation's airports, they are, in his words, striking fear into the travelers. Why? Why? But at his news conference he staged at Newark Liberty International Airport, he said they, speaking about the government and the ICE agents, Trump in particular, they have brought this reckless and out of control ICE into our airports and have even told the American people what they'll specifically be doing, and all we see them doing today is roaming around. That's security. And he emphasized again on those long wait times for passengers. And he wants Trump to fund the Transportation Security Administration directly. To that extent, Senator John Kennedy and Senator Cruz of Texas have also said, let's just break off ICE and Border Patrol customs agents from the Department of Homeland Security for this funding purpose and get money in play to get the ICE agents back on the job. I'm sorry, get TSA agents back on the job so folks will not be facing delays, missed flights. They consider that they're offering Trump an off-ramp. So far, Trump is not taking it. In fact, he's against doing it. You need to keep this in mind. Your lawmakers are getting ready to take a 2-week recess for Passover and Easter starting this Friday. The Senate is considering staying in session if the shutdown is not resolved. House GOP leaders say they do not plan to cut their break short in hopes of reaching an accord. That's according to some folks that were part of private planning but could not use their name. Senate Majority Leader John Thune told reporters over the weekend, it's going to be very, very hard to explain if we leave town this week without having funded DHS. I would agree with that. Some are blaming Trump for just holding it out. He did declare on Truth Social last night he would not back any deal unless it includes the GOP partisan election bill, as Politico likes to report it. It's not a GOP partisan elections bill. It's an American elections bill, the SAVE Act. But Politico is loving this because they see that this is going to hurt Trump and maybe hurt conservatives, Republicans in the midterm elections coming up. So keep this in mind. The House and Senate are not scheduled to return to business until the week of April 13. If they go out without TSA agents being paid and brought back in, that will be day 60 of the Department of Homeland Security shutdown. The longest federal lapse we had in funding in U.S. history was set last fall, 43 days. Again, the Democrats trying to throw a wrench into anything. So with the threat of a 2-month shutdown and more lengthening TSA lines, TSA officers refusing to work without pay, that's why the border czar, Tom Holman, was directed by Trump, send in some ICE agents to help move the crowds along at the check-in lines. And then you've got people like Cory Booker and others saying, well, this frightens me. It frightens me that ICE agents will be in the airport. Late last night in an interview, Thune said, we're going to see if we can land on something. The clock is ticking. If we're going to get this done, we've got to get moving pretty quickly here. Senator Patty Murray of Washington, the Senate's top Democrat appropriator, said, I can tell you, Democrats are really united. And we're talking to the White House, telling them what our demands are. I don't know how you define progress. That is really up to the White House, whether you're willing to move forward on this or not. This is a bill that the Democrats had previously agreed to. But then they realized, you know what? Maybe we can jam up spring and summer travel and get the American people so upset that they will turn against the Republicans in the midterm and maybe the general election as well. I don't know, if you make someone angry, they might strike out at the target that you want them to, but then again, they might strike out at everyone. If they leave without having this resolved, and if they truly go on a 2-week break, the whole nation will be PO'd, and rightly so. Yes, I'm going to put the blame primarily on the Democrats again, because they had agreed to all this earlier, then realized, you know what? Let's just test the water here. They're testing the patience and the will of the American people. I mentioned earlier there's a California sheriff who I want to make sure you understand is also a Republican candidate for governor. And he sees more than 650,000 ballots from his state's November 2025 election over the weekend. They're investigating voter fraud. Others say, you're not allowed to do that. Well, he is. The Riverside County Sheriff, looking at the state's special election on a controversial ballot measure, Proposition 50. A third-party organization claimed they had discovered nearly 45,000 excess votes in the county. Where did they come from? And so now he wants to have all 650,000 ballots and physically count the ballots and compare the results. Proposition 50 was that proposal by Governor Newsom trying to redraw California's congressional districts to favor Democrats, countering what Republicans did in Texas. And the California Secretary of State, Democrat, no surprise here, says you have no authority. What would be the harm of counting ballots again, just to make sure they were accurate? Oh, the harm would be that you unveil fraud and duplicates and dead people voting. They don't want that. It's the same thing about voter ID. They want to tell you that you're disenfranchising people if you insist on a voter ID. That's not true. Then they'll say, well, there are not that many illegals that actually vote. I don't care. I don't want a single illegal ID or a single illegal voter, period. That's not the way we run the country. Well, let me correct that. Not the way we should run the country. But with these guys, again, it's all about what can we do to defeat Trump and shut down anything he's trying to do. Our story behind the story today, we focused on CBS legendary anchor Walter Cronkite. And I want to go back and let you hear a clip of him as he signed off on his last broadcast at age 65 because CBS had a mandatory retirement age of 65.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News. For me, it's a moment for which I long have planned, but which nevertheless comes with some sadness. For almost two decades, after all, we've been meeting like this in the evenings, and I'll miss that. But those who have made anything of this departure, I'm afraid, have made too much. This is but a transition, a passing of the baton. A great broadcaster and gentleman, Doug Edwards, preceded me in this job, and another, Dan Rather, will follow. And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not even going away. I'll be back from time to time with special news reports and documentaries, and beginning in June, every week with our science program, Universe. Old anchormen, you see, don't fade away. They just keep coming back for more. And that's the way it is. Friday, March 6th, 1981. I'll be away on assignment, and Dan Rather will be sitting in here for the next few years. Good night.
He did it with class and said that Dan Rather will be sitting in here for the next few years. I'll be away on assignment, but I'll show up from time to time with a special, which he did. Walter Cronkite later, in interviews done after he had retired, acknowledged, I shouldn't have left that early. I should have fought it. I should have said, I don't want to retire. I don't need to retire. You need to change that mandatory 65 retirement age. And Rather had a very rough start. He's already considered too brash, not as calm and with the demeanor of a Walter Cronkite, and much more liberal Not to say that Cronkite did not have liberal leanings, but he didn't necessarily let them interfere in the anchor work. And CBS, after a period of time, probably wishes they had not done that either. But by then, it's done. Gavin Newsom and L.A. Mayor Karen Bass are being blasted for destroying the film industry in Hollywood. That's a big part of Hollywood, big part of L.A. David Spade, on the Saturday Night Live program, and from time to time, has a podcast called Fly on the Wall. And he asserted that the Hollywood industry is dying, and he wants to put the blame directly on what's happening with California under the leadership of Newsom and Los Angeles under Mayor Bass. The CBS Radford Studio Center and Studio City, which had been the home for decades of movies and TV productions, is bankrupt. And again, he says, the Hollywood studio system is dying. We need to save it. Not with Newsom and Bass. Not unless they get more money. As always, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow, 6 to 8. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.